You just heard just not even half the story of the blind man. It would take a couple hours at least to pull this story apart, to get to what the author is trying to get us to understand it in his gospel, and what was going on in the historical context, which I won't give you much of. I maybe entice you and I'll do a class on it if you want me to. It's really wonderful, wonderful stuff. That this is a metaphorical story. There's very deep levels to it, and there's a lot going on in this whole story. And it happens at the time when the Jesus movement was being kicked out of the synagogue, and that has to do with the blind man here. He got kicked out, right? That's what he got thrown out. Well, that was the Jesus Jews, who were following Jesus at that time in history, got thrown out of the temple. And there was faction between the Jews and the Pharisees and the ones who were left after the temple was destroyed, and then also with the Jesus movement Jews. And quite interesting, lots of things going on as part of that story. But it gets down to a story of faith, and that's what I want to get to, the level, because it's at different levels you can understand this story. There's lots of lessons that can come from it. I could preach 20 different homilies from this one story. There's so much richness to it, and so much to unpack here. So I'm going to give you a little bit of what I did last year, I think, for me anyways, and the concerns, having the eyes of faith, being able to have a different perception of life once you have faith. Jesus in this story was concerned with two people, those who were thrown out, who he goes after this man, and he was concerned with those who were blind, who cannot see, and wanted them to see. That's God wants us to see. And I'll get to this, that we're all blind. We're born blind. But God wants us to see. God wants us and created us so that we would see God and that we would love God and that we can see God if we really want to. God's really not that well hidden. Although for some people, he's hidden, I know. He's hidden, he's not hidden. Or she is, or he is. But over the years, I've told you before, I believe that the divine reality is not separate from creation. God is not up there, out there, somewhere, where people still think God is. Not that God is creation. That, you know, that would be pantheism. I'm not a pantheist. Not that humans are God. We are not God, although we are share in God, but we are not God. Rather, God makes himself known in his creation, in his creatures. And that's how we get to know God. That's how and where we can encounter God. How else are you going to encounter God? You're made of human flesh, for God's sakes. We're not spirits. Unless I'm in a weird place here, seeing bodies. But we're incarnations. God is incarnate in flesh. We Christians are the ones who came up with that one. And no other sees that. But you have to see him. He wants to be seen. Creatures in creation are not God, but they reveal God. I believe this for a variety of reasons. And I think that it's the best in the biblical tradition that you can find it there, even in the Old Testament. Although there's parts of the scriptures that I find it hard to find God there in some passages. But anyhow, I believe because I find it in all the mystics, our own Christian mystics, as well as the Eastern mystics. And I would look to those who have personal experiences of God, and rather than those who have no experience of God, and yet they know about God because they've read some theology books, or they read the Bible, but they still haven't had an encounter or experience with God. I would rather a mystic teaching than somebody who used to teach me theology, I'm sorry to say, to some of my professors who seemed never to have a spiritual experience, but they knew a lot of intellectual stuff. And God became part of the intellect. And then if God's only part of the intellect and there's no experience, then that's where you quarrel. You quarrel over concepts, right? You argue and and die and kill over things that, you know, concepts, because there's no experience of God there. But anyways, and finally, I think it's a theological idea that gives me hope. So the story of the man born blind is asking us more than a mental assent to a very powerful theological thought. Again, the powerful theological thought is this: seeing the spiritual in and through the material. Right? That's your theological thought. Seeing the spiritual in and through the material. The author is asking us to become aware of the reality to which that idea points. And that's what I'm saying. You've got to get to the reality of that, what he's pointing towards. It moves towards mystical recognition and suggestions like William Blake. William Blake writes, the great poet, he writes, "If the eyes of perception were cleansed, we would see things as they are, infinite." If the eyes of perception were cleansed, we would see things as they are, infinite. Dwell on that one for a while. Meditate on things like that. What did we hear in the first? God doesn't see, perceive, or judge as we do, but rather judges by the heart, in that first reading. And then I just was reading this. I was preparing for what I was going to say. I came across Ralph Waldo Emerson. Waldo, where'd they get that? Waldo. But Ralph Waldo Emerson says, "To the dull mind, all nature is leaden. He says, to the illumined mind, the whole world burns and sparkles with light." My brothers and sisters, the emphasis on seeing the spiritual in and through the material, perceiving the infinite grounding of the finite world, sensing the eternal now in the flux of the temporal unfolding of time. And that's what we're observing, the temporal unfolding of time within eternity, within the now. And it's not belief in the God-world connection. It is consciousness of it that counts. And it's an awareness of heaven and earth as interpenetrating realities. They interpenetrate one another. And for me, I don't know about you, but the movement from belief to consciousness is the proper sequence. You go from belief to consciousness. So I come to something, I come to believe something, and then I try to personally experience it. Right? In traditional language, this is called faith seeking understanding. You believe something, you're told something, you're given it by others, that this is a part of our faith, this is what we believe, and then you try to understand it and experience it. Faith is not an end in itself. Faith is an invitation into understanding. That's what faith is. It's not an end. It's an invitation to understanding. And understanding entails awareness, consciousness of God-world connection. Therefore, by faith, by its very nature, encourages us towards seeing. It points us toward the task of spiritual development. However, spiritual development is a difficult task. And don't let anybody kid you that it's an easy task. And I have never found spiritual seeing to be a steady form of sight, as much as I try, because I am human and blind as well. The story, very quickly, about this blind man here, in summary, is about us, about everybody in this room. Every single one of us in this room is born blind. But we also must realize that at the same time, we are born God-seated, as my friend Dr. Gene Houston says. We have the potential to turn to the light, to be born again, which is what we must do. If we haven't started it, we need to start it in the second part of our life. You have to give birth to the Christ within you, the power of God that's in you. Or you can stay blind, as many people choose to stay blind. And they walk around till the day they die, and they never see the light. And they never give off any kind of light either, if you've encountered them. But we must, at some point in our lives, move from the natural self, the small self, to the spiritual, the large self, the capital S-E-L-F. We must make it real and actual, that actualize that seed within us, let it grow, the Christ which dwells in us, and in whom we dwell. And that's what faith is supposed to be all about. This is what transformation is about. It's what religion should be helping us achieve. Religion is not about rules, regulations, and laws, and just concepts or whatever. It's about transformation, about changing us, transforming us into another Christ. And so in the end, that this guy, he never sees the physical Jesus. He never once sees the physical Jesus in the story. You know, who is he? I'm speaking to you. He never physically sees Jesus. And when you think about it, Jesus, the physical Jesus isn't important anyways. Never was. Scriptures never describe him. Not one scripture does describe him. Do you know what he looks like? Nobody does. Nobody in this room knows what he looks like. But you can't find any description of him because it wasn't the physical that mattered. Anyhow, he came to faith in Christ. This story was written by John, whoever he was, years and years and years after the resurrection. And that this experience was an experience in the faith community. It was passed on to him, the faith of the community. And those who believed in the risen Christ, who experienced the risen Christ, passed this on to this blind man and to all others who were blind. And so that's what our community is supposed to do. The Christian community is to help people to open up and to encounter the risen Christ. And that's what we're supposed to do. In the end, it's not one's belief in God connection that's important. And I don't believe that it's all that important, or that the most important things are all these multiple beliefs that we're told that our minds are supposed to assent to. I can't assent to some things, as important as they are, but rather it's our consciousness and experiences of them that gives life and can change one's life. And this man had an experience of the risen Christ. And it changed dramatically. And he became part of the Christian community. And they were all kicked out of the synagogue. And so the story goes on. And it goes on through you and I in our encounter with the Christ and passing on that faith that we have that is a gift from the community. So keep passing it on.